The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, our Creator, the resurrection of your Son offers life to all the peoples of earth. By your Holy Spirit, kindle in us the fire of your love, empowering our lives for service and our tongues for praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. So, today is Pentecost. And, Miss Madeline? I am, but not until October. October 1. October 1 is my first... Yes. Well, the last day of September, yeah. So October 1 is my first official day of retirement. So, but I will be in your face until that day. So no acting up. I have, on this Feast of Pentecost, an object lesson. So that means that I'm going to give you something and then teach you about it, about Pentecost. So I'm going to give you a... What color? What color is this? Okay, because red is the color of the Spirit, the color of fire, and the color of... All right, lots of red balloons. Yes, but don't tie it. Can you blow it up? So a balloon... Okay, run back and give it to... Who can help blow up a balloon? Oh, Diane can. Go take it to Diane. Right over there. Go ahead. Don't tie it. Just hold it. So if I just said, no, don't blow it up, we're going to just play with it like this. What could we do with this?
Stretch it.
Yeah.
Walk it around.
Yeah, you could do that. Wouldn't be, oh, maybe you could fling it off. It wouldn't be as much fun. If you blow up your balloon, what can you do with it? You can bop it, you can play a game, you can make it make noise, you can do all kinds of things with it. So, not yet. So, this is the sign of the Holy Spirit. The word for spirit is breath. Did you hear that? The word for spirit, if we're going to read in Greek, if where it says spirit, it would be the same word as breath. So I want you to breathe. Blow out. Okay, I didn't see you blow, Chloe. I didn't see your breath. Can I see? I can't see your breath. So how do we know the spirit is here when we can't see it?
You can feel it.
You could feel it. Blow on your hand. You can feel that. We can feel it in our hearts sometimes, but we only see the evidence of it. So like if the wind is blowing really hard, really fast, and your hair is blowing, you don't see the wind, but you see the blowing hair. You don't see the wind inside the balloon, but we know it's there because the balloon has expanded, just like our hearts expand with the Spirit of God's love. But the thing is about... I want you to blow it up more. Blow it up more so you can... Go ask Diane to finish. Give you another... No, I want you to hang on to this. So this is the lesson. The Spirit fills our hearts and fills us with God's breath. But we don't know where that breath is going to take us and what's going to happen. So I want you to stand up, aim your balloon, and let it go and see where it flies. Just let it fly. Let it fly. Whoa, okay. Okay, you can hang on to it. Oh, so the Holy Spirit fills you with life. We don't know where it's taking us, but it always goes someplace. It will always go someplace. So you can learn, you can practice. I bet you'll get it by the end of the day. Okay, off to Sunday school.
All the children of the world.
A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire separated among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in a native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Palmia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds and powers. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I have to say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show you portents in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Everyone who calls on name shall be, the name of the Lord shall be saved. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 104 responsively. How manifold are your words, O Lord. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Yonder is the sea, great and wide, with its swarms too many to number, living things both small and great.
There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for sport of it.
All of them look to you.
You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth.
May your glory and glory endure forever. O Lord, rejoice in all your works.
You look at the earth, and it trembles. You touch the mountains and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being.
May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, and will be, forever. Amen.
Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A few years ago, a book came out, a kind of a how-to book, called Teach Like Your Hair's on Fire. Well, that was followed up by other people tweaking that title, and the one that I read was called Preach Like Your Hair's on Fire. Well, I don't know that Peter or the disciples ever read that book or took any class on homiletics or preaching, but that is exactly what Peter and the disciples were doing on that Pentecost Sunday that we heard from Luke's reading in the Acts of the Apostles. On fire with the Holy Spirit, the disciples of Jesus turned the world upside down. And on fire with the Holy Spirit, we are called to continue that work of the church. But first, before we go out to turn the world upside down, let's just take a breath. Just take a breath. Like I told the children, the Greek word for spirit is breath, pneuma. Now, that's a good cognate. How many words can we think that start with pneuma that means spirit or wind?
Pneumonia.
Pneumatic. Okay, that's good. We got two. Greek experts here that we are. We know two words. It means breath. It means the life that we need breath to live. You know how in the movies in the old days they would always check to see if someone was alive with a mirror under their nose to make sure that they were breathing, because that's the one thing you cannot be alive unless you have breath. The Spirit of God breathed the Spirit, the breath, into those creatures that God made when he created humanity. Last week we had our preschool graduation here, and I watched a family in action. The five-year-old was over in the school with the classmates getting ready for the ceremony, the event. The rest of the people are in here. And the mom with the three-year-old whose hair was on fire. This child could not decide whether he wanted to be in the sanctuary or out in the parking lot or in the narthex. In and out. And so mom's following him back. And he is just, you know, and on the second trip out, this was before the service even started, he was just having a moment. And she got down and looked at him eye to eye, and she said, "Take a breath." She put her hands on his shoulders, on his arms, and just looked at him and said, "Take a breath." And then they breathed together, and it calmed him, it centered him, it allowed him to come back into the room, those three-year-olds. Quite a thing. Maybe you've had an experience where you've needed to be reminded to just take a breath. Just take a breath. You know, when you're under stress, you breathe more shallowly than we should. And health experts tell us that it's the shallow breathing that's caused by stress causes more stress. Those shallow breaths don't let us get enough oxygen into our body. And it's oxygen that your body needs to function properly. Those sighs that come naturally when you're sad or depressed or even just simply bored, those are simply signs that your body is trying to compensate for that lack of oxygen. Your body is saying, take a breath. You need to breathe that. Your body forces you to take a deep breath. Maybe there's been some sighing in your life lately. There are times that you might need someone to look you in the eye and remind you to take a breath. We get way too stressed, running from activity to activity, from concerns about work and cares about family and friends, worries about finance and medical conditions, and so much more. We need to be reminded to take a breath. When I say breath, think also of the word that the Greek word is spirit. We need to take a breath. We need to pull the spirit into our hearts. The apostles needed to be reminded to breathe too. Just think of all that had gone on those previous 50 days. That wonderful but sad Last Supper, when Jesus said goodbye. And then his arrest and crucifixion. There was a lot of sighing going on that day. But those sighs turned into gasps of wonder at Jesus' resurrection and then at the appearances as he continued to teach them about forgiveness and peace and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And just as the disciples had caught their breath, Jesus told them again that he would be leaving, and he did. He was taken from their sight, and he returned to his Creator God. And on that ascension day, they probably felt like the wind had been knocked out of them. Their sighs of stress and confusion would have been audible as Jesus told them to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. And they did go back. And they went back and waited and wondered, how long do we wait? What's going to happen? What are we waiting for? And before they knew it, they heard a strong wind. Not a little breeze fluttering the palm trees, but a gale force wind that shook the whole house. And each one of them was filled with the breath of God. They were inspired. They were filled with the breath of God. They were on fire, filled with the power of God. They couldn't not speak. They had to tell about it. They had to tell what was happening. These fear-filled, stressed-out, closed-mouthed disciples found themselves preaching about who God was and what God had done in their lives. The Holy Spirit set their hair on fire and they could do nothing else but tell of the mysteries of God. And people listened. Some of them thought that these God-proclaiming disciples were drunk. They couldn't explain it any other way. Not only were they hearing spirited words of God's mighty acts, they were hearing them in their own languages. There may be times and situations that you can ignore a sermon. I've seen it happen. But it was impossible on that day. That crowd of people from so many different countries, that each person hearing the preaching in their own native tongue, not a single person within hearing range could say, well, it's not about me. They couldn't say, well, they're not talking to me. That preaching must be for someone else. You ever had that thought in your mind? That's a good example, Pastor. I know you weren't talking to me, though. God's words from those fire-breathing, gasping, and panting disciples was indeed meant for them. If we read further on in the book of the Acts, we would hear Luke tell us that on that day, 3,000 people became disciples as a result of hearing that sermon from Peter and the other disciples. This was the birth of the church. People from far and wide, of all kinds of languages, all kinds of traditions, people began to speak of God and how God was at work in their lives, how God was at work in the world. The breath of God flowed, blew freely and wildly, filling their lungs, giving them strength and power that they couldn't have dreamt possible. And Christ's body, the church, began to grow. All of these people, devout Jews of every nation, had gone to Jerusalem to worship God in the temple on this spring harvest feast of Shavuot, the feast of first fruits, the feast of thanksgiving. And they got the shock of their lives. God wasn't just in the temple. God's action wasn't isolated in history or in rituals or in the possession of the religious professionals. God was at work in them, in their lives and in their world. God's mighty deeds of power were for them and in them. The good news is that God's spirit, God's breath, God's wind is still blowing. This is not a past tense story. This is not a history lesson of what happened a couple thousand years ago. This is a story for today. This is a story of what is happening. This is how God works today. We started out the service a few minutes ago with a remembrance of baptism, and we prayed, pour out your Holy Spirit on this assembly, into this community, throughout all creation. Cleanse us from our fears and divisions. I always think of that. I don't always think of it because I can't remember the name of the author. But this woman, it's not Annie Lamott, it's Anne. She writes this beautiful piece of poetry about, if people really believed this, pour out your Holy Spirit on this assembly, that we would not come to church wearing fancy hats, but we would come to church wearing helmets, and that we would ask the ushers, not for a bulletin, but for seat belts, to lash us to our pews. Because the Holy Spirit is filled with power, and we are filled with that Holy Spirit, with power and grace for the good of the world. We are the baptized people of God, the Pentecost people. God invites you to know that God is at work in your life. To know that God is at work in your world. And God invites you to experience the fullness of life without fears or divisions, and with an abundance of forgiveness and grace and love. God fills you with the holy breath to be breathed deeply today and every day. Breathe deeply and know that you are indeed filled with God's Spirit, filled with God's holy breath. Take a deep breath and know that that is the breath of God in us, in our very life, our courage, our strength, our good news. God isn't in the church only on Sunday morning. God's action isn't isolated in history or in rituals or in traditions or in the possession of the religious professionals. God is at work in your life, in your world. God's mighty deeds of power are in you and for the world. Breathe deeply of God's Holy Spirit and let that love and joy and that power and courage fill you and move you and set your hair on fire. Amen.